Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Hello, God Almighty. Once again, we bless and exhort you. We hear God to receive instruction from you. Give us insight. Lead us into the path, O God, of glory, of righteousness, by way of your word, the revelation of your person, to bring forth your character into our life, that we may walk as your sons upon the face of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to be, we'll probably be rounding up today on our subject on our adoption. And this is part number four. Our adoption part number four. And our text remains the same, which is Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans 8 verse number 15. And it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, we're not going to spend more time on this. Like I said before, we've been able to get a proper definition of the word adoption. Like I said, adoption has nothing to do with you taking somebody who is not in your family relation and bringing him to into your family. Somebody who is not your blood relation, you bring him to your family so that you can help the person or train the person or raise the person. That is not what adoption is in the Bible. And try to make us understand how that God was able to adopt Jesus three times into what we call the prophetic and then the priesthood and then the kingship. Hallelujah. And I also make us understand how that God adopted the children of Israel when we read from the book of Romans chapter number 9, how that to Israel pertained the adoption, the covenant, the glory, and all of that. And we were able to see that the adoption of the children of Israel had nothing to do with the fact that maybe because Israel belonged to another nation, therefore God adopted them to his own, but rather it was the choice of God upon the very household of faith, which is Israel. Then from Egypt, he brought Egypt to, the children of Israel from Egypt to himself. And so Israel became the firstborn unto him in relation to the nations. And we said that in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, you were not the mightiest nation upon the face of the earth. You are the smallest, but I chose you for the purpose of priesthood. And that choice, and then the law he gave to them in Exodus chapter 19, 20, Mount Sinai, now speak of that which has to do with the adoption. That's the public declaration how that Israel has become his own child. And I told us there in Romans chapter 8 verse 15 again, that the word adoption is the word weothesia, and weothesia means a pleasing as a son. A pleasing as a son. A little bit of recap on this. Figuratively, this word is actually Christian sonship in relation to God, or in respect to God. That's the same word, adoption. And just to give you a few things, you know, like a recap so that you understand all that we're saying and all that we've been trying to say. Praise the Lord. And so today I want to look at Romans chapter 8 verse 23 in relation to our adoption. So I'm saying when God brings you to himself, when God chooses you from the world, you are adopted as a child of God. And so the Christian community is an adopted child of God, not because they were missing or not because they have no relationship with him. Because like the very first time, we understand precisely that Adam is a child of God, or was a child of God, or a son of God. So here in Romans 8 verse 23, the Bible says, okay, let's take it from verse 22. Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And verse 23 says, and not only they, that's not only creation, But we ourselves, or ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, with him for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so I ask the question, if adoption means you're taking somebody who is not in your family, you're bringing that individual to your family, what is happening to our body that our body have to be adopted? So this again tells you that adoption have nothing to do with a distance relation or somebody else you're bringing in. And so the primary thing that we are waiting for today is basically the adoption of our body. Meaning God wants to take this body and make it his own. Amen? The adoption of our body. Okay, let's read it from the Amplified Translation. Romans 8:22, Amplified Translation. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures, all of those things you see, have been mourning together in the pains of labor until now. Verse 23. And not only the creature, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, a first state of the blissful things to come, grown inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality and the grave, which we reveal our adoption. What is our adoption? Our manifestation as God's sons. Did you get that? Meaning, in one word, the putting on of immortality is what reveals our ultimate sonship. Praise the living God. That is our adoption. The adoption of our body is when we shed off these dying bodies and put on a glorified body. That is what brings forth our true sonship. Praise the living God. So the Bible will say, now we're the children of God. Nepios, not wheels. Nepios are just little children. Now they have all of the DNA of the father, if you will, but they've not grown to the place where they can handle the father's property or the father's estate. These are the nephews. Go to Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1. Now, you can, whichever way. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor or the heir is a child and under age, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate. That's a simple thing. The child is under age. Even though he is the master, is the owner of the estate, he cannot be given the estate because he's under age. Are you getting that? Good. And this word child here is the word nephew. Nephews is to say you are still a little child. You have not even gone to the place where your father can hand over his car key to you. That is a nephew. And such, I would say, largely you find that within the body of Christ, 80%, okay, let me just say 60%, are still acting under the platform of a nephew. We don't know our right, we don't know what belongs to us, we don't know how to exercise our right, even though we are the owner of the estate. Look at this again. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child an underage. He does not differ from a slave, though he is the master of all the estate. And so scripture says we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And that means we have not received the spirit of slavery. So here we find that so many people, so many of us are acting underage. We don't know what belongs to us. We don't know our rights. And so we are giving some people to teach us. Like you read down this passage, it talks about the law. Placed under tutors. Working under law. Working under instruction. Working under guidance. Because you don't know your rights. You don't know who you are. You are acting as an underage person. Even though you are an heir in the Father's house. Did you get that? Read the next verse, which is verse 2. But is under tutor and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Can you get that? Under tutors and governors. So, but you see, you as an individual can grow to the place where God Himself can make that declaration. Now, He's not going to speak to anybody about it, but it brings you to the place of maturity where you truly have come to know your right. And you can handle things that belong to the Father. He allows you to exercise your rights. Praise the Lord. So sometimes you need to ask yourself this question. Who am I? It's true that I'm born again. It's true I'm a household of faith. It's true I'm a child of God. But truly, who am I? A Nepios? Or a Techno? Or a Weas? Or a Ben? Who am I? You know, somebody like Joseph was called a Ben, B-A-N. The Ben is the man that actually extend or proclaim the name of the family by the thing he does. Praise the living God. Maybe I'm going to share that again. I remember I taught that some years back, the four levels of sonship. You see, the Ben is the type that he took the family name. For instance, Joseph went to Egypt, and because of Joseph, the whole family of Israel had a place. That is a Ben, B-A-N. That is not a Nepios. That is not a Techno. Hallelujah. Are you still there with me? That is why you see when you get out of the book of Isaiah, the Bible now says, your son shall marry thee. How can a son marry the mother? What it means to say is, your son will become a provider. Your son should marry thee, becomes your father. And Joseph was a father in Egypt. He was a father even to the children of Israel, because when they go to Egypt, through Joseph, they had provision. Are you still there with me? Praise the Lord. So this is what we're saying. Back again to verse number 1. So, we are trying to say adoption have nothing to do with you picking somebody who is not in your bloodline, you bring him to your home, to make provision for that individual to become a father. That's not what he's talking about. Biblical adoption is a placement into the place of authority and power and dominion that a father have deemed fit that you must come into. And when that declaration comes, your prayer becomes easy because you pray not just in your capacity, you're praying on behalf of the one that have made a proclamation. So one of the things that will bring you to the place of this realization, by that I mean, if you're beginning to think that, well, I'm getting into a place of placement, it has to do with the way you walk in the spirit, in the way, how do I put this now? Let me say, the level at which your prayers are answered, we also begin to indicate to you your growth, your level of maturity in the spirit. When you are not always looking for assistance to be able to minister before God, you're beginning to see that you are moving in your relationship with God and in your sonship maturing or maturity with God and in God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 1. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4. Romans chapter 1, 3 and 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by what? The resurrection from the dead. Can we take this from the Amplified again? Now I want you to see something here because it's very important. I said, Romans chapter 1, 3, Amplify. The gospel regarding his son, who was to the flesh by his human nature now, was descended from David as regards his flesh. Amen? Verse 4. And as to his divine nature, that means he had two natures while he was walking the earth. In his human nature, he was the son of David. But as to his divine nature, according to the Spirit of holiness, was openly designated the Son of God in power in a striking, triumphant, and miraculous manner, by what? His resurrection from the dead. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Praise the living God. So why we call Jesus, yes, he was the Son of God while he was walking the earth. The reality of his sonship was when he was raised from the grave. Praise the living God. Are you with me? Right. So even though he was walking the earth, just like you and I, we have our human nature. But yeah, we have our divine nature right within us. Now, the full declaration of our divine nature is not just what we know, but it has to do with when our body puts on a glorified body, just like his body took on a different body from the grave. No longer the flesh of David, the nature of David. No, now he has the nature of God, if you want to say that. Because number one, God is not flesh and blood. Okay, maybe we need to look at something again. Go with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 32. Acts 13, verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto our fathers, verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us as your children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So go to Psalm chapter 2 and look at 6 and 7, and I will come back here. You see what I'm talking about? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, as the anointed man Zion. Verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So you find that this scripture is fulfilling the resurrection of Christ from the grave. This is what Acts 13 is now talking about. Acts 13 again, verse number 2. Acts 13, 32, 33. Look at that. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that a promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, your children, in that he has raised up Jesus. That's the key. As it is written in the second Psalm. What was it written there? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. This is now adoption as a king. Did you get that? I showed us that before in Hebrews chapter 1. You remember that? Good. This is now the fulfillment of that prophecy. So his kingship was not just when he was walking the earth. His kingship came into position when he rose from the grave. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 2 again, verse number 6 says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. Can you see the word there? Right. And he said, I declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. So, this day have I begotten thee. This is very true. He was the son of God from eternity, we must understand. It is not as if he just became the son of God on this particular day. Are you following what I'm talking about? Very good. Meaning therefore, what he's trying to say, I have this day declared thee to be my son. And that's exactly what we read in Romans chapter 1 verse number 4. When Paul said he was made the son of God by the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the grave. So when God was declaring, this is my beloved son, he won my well pleased. In Psalm 2 verse number 7, it's in direct reference to his resurrection from the grave to assume the position of a king. So when we read about, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the day he came into that kingship was when he rose from the grave, not was walking the earth. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Very good. I tried in the past teaching I did on Facebook, I tried to explain something. When help me now. When John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day is not the same thing as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a day of vengeance, a day of judgment. It's a day of tribulation, if you will. It's a day of the wrath of God. That's what they call the day of the Lord. Amos will say, what will it be to you? You would desire the day of the Lord. Is that okay? Good. So the day of the Lord comes, the day of vengeance. But when we talk about the Lord's day, we're talking about the day of the Lord himself, not in terms of vengeance, but now this is the way it was. In the Roman days, Roman Empire, the day the king was crowned was referred to as the Emperor's Day. So the Emperor's Day was often celebrated to commemorate when he ascended the throne. And, you know, we do that for our traditional rulers, even in Africa. Right? Like the Oba of Benin, all the days they came into power, the days they came into throne, they celebrate that day. Are you listening to me? Very good. So that's called, you cannot put the King's Day. So when you read the Lord's Day, we're not talking about the day of God's vengeance. We're talking about the day that the Lord ascended the throne as a king. Now, the Christians who have been persecuted in Rome in the past at that time, they choose not to celebrate the Emperor's Day, but to celebrate the Lord's Day. So now John was saying, I was in the Lord's day. What is that supposed to mean? The day the Lord was crowned as what? As a king. So this is what we're reading here. When he says, as touching his resurrection, was made the Son of God in the spirit of holiness. But then Psalm 2 defined for us what happened on that day. What was it? He was made a king. So his adoption as a king is what you read now in Psalm 2 verse number 7, 6 and 7. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. And so this is very proper, beautiful, and particular, if I may use the word, that God will speak about his begotten him on that particular day. The day was raised from the dead, as he now seemed to be born out of the atrium into the spirit dimension to assume his role as a king. And so, like I said initially, in the days of John the Baptist, he was adopted as what? As a prophet. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he was adopted as what? As a priest. In Psalm 2:7 now, you see now, he's adopted as what? As a king. So again, I repeat, adoption have nothing to do with somebody that is not in your family. You bring him to your family. Remember what we read now in Galatians chapter 4. Even though you are a son, an heir of the throne, as long as you are underage, somebody is there to monitor your life. But when you come to the place of maturity, as to when the father appoints, the time of the appointment is when he makes that declaration. You become a son. At that level, you are no longer under tutors or governors to control your life. You have come to the place of maturity where you can make declaration. Remember, let's go back to that place. Yes, Psalm 2, verse number 6. I will declare the decree. Now, first of all, I've told us here, one of the things that is unique about kingship is that you do not just make prayers, you rule with decrees. So, starting the sentence by saying, I will declare the decree. We're talking about somebody who is in a position of authority. That's why when you read in Ezra chapter 1, King Cyrus had to make a decree. Kings rule by decree. They don't beg for things to happen. They cause things to happen by the decree that they made. And this is the level you must mature into, that your prayer becomes decrees. Can I hear an amen? So I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I done what? Begotten thee. Now he is speaking. Praise the Lord. From the platform of being a king. Not just a son. But this is a son who have been adopted. Are you getting that? Good. A son who have come to maturity and been adopted as now what? A king. Now he is saying, we make the decree. Because I'm a king. Kings rule by decrees. They don't beg for things to happen. I pray you grow into that level in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you still there with me? For me, this is very, very interesting. I mean, since I started studying this, I'm seeing the thing that God is speaking out of this thing. I have a desire. I have an hunger within me. I try to see things completely different from a different perspective. And you can literally measure your spiritual growth if you understand what I'm teaching. You can measure it. You see? You can come to the place of knowing if you have been adopted, you're flowing in maturity in the realm of the prophetic. As he was adopted as a prophet, as it was with John the Baptist. Are you there with me? You can come to that place where you begin to see things in the spirit. With prophetic dimension begin to open up to you. That's a level of maturity. You're going beyond being in a pews into something completely different. Now you can see with the eyes of God. Are you there with me? Good. And then you can come to the place in your maturity in God. Because you see, everything Jesus is, we are. As he is, so are we. So if you went through the prophetic, if we went to the priesthood, it comes to the place of kingship, even so are we supposed to move. So when you come to the place of the prophetic, you are bound to see things, you are supposed to see things, you are supposed to observe things beyond the natural. Then that's on a level of adoption. That's a level of your growth. So it's not that you're waiting for one sound to come from heaven. This day have I begotten thee. No, that's not it. But you can, as you're walking, you'll be able to come to the place and you begin to see things differently. You begin to see prophetically. And then you know that you are moving from one level to what? To another level. Praise the Lord. I had a very fantastic experience. Those guys that came and when we finished fellowship, you know, I had some pastors, three pastors came to visit me. Finished fellowship and I said, okay, you guys can pray. And this guy was praying and he mentioned three basic things that I'm working on. Three basic things that I'm working on. He mentioned the building. He mentioned my document with the government. He mentioned the perspective I have in political matters in the country. It was mind-blowing. You see what I'm talking about? And when it comes to the issue of governance and political situation, is the third person that is mentioned in that. One was in South Africa, one was in the United States, and then himself. So you can see that he's flowing in another realm. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I never told him anything. He just said, you have a project, the project is not finished yet, but you are going to finish it, the resource is going to come. And by the time you finish, I look through the window, that's the project you're talking about. I mean, it was mind-blowing. That is exactly what I'm talking about. You can literally measure your growth. Now, this is not unique to him. It's not peculiar to him. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. Good. You can grow to that level. That's your adoption. You have been adopted in the spirit into a particular dimension of your spiritual growth as a child of God. When you come to the place of adoption as that of a priest, you come into the place where you can literally speak to people and they believe God. You're reconciling. You come into the place of reconciling people to God. You now have the spirit of reconciliation. You can bring people to God. You can bring men together who have issues. Because priests reconcile people. And scripture says, God is giving us the spirit of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Be ye reconciled. That's priesthood. So, when you talk to people, what is the response? Do people believe you? Have they come to the place where you're speaking to them? They have a quickening within their spirit. They really want to follow on to know the Lord. That's priesthood. And then when you come to kingship, you're making a decree. Hallelujah. This is, I'm not going to say this is the highest, but this, for me, this is the highest. Because it comes to a place where you are not struggling to pray for things to happen. You say things and they do what? They happen. Why? Because you've been adopted into the place of what? Of a king. So it's not a matter of saying we are priests and kings. You know, we are good at saying that. The Lord has made us priests and kings. We are small kings. It's not enough. You are a king? Yes, I know. How do we know you are a king? Make a decree. Glory to God. Are you following me? Yeah, make the decree. Your prayer changes, the pattern changes, your vocabulary changes. Why? Because you are a king. Take time to study all the prayers of Jesus, as a matter of fact. How was he praying? You just make a simple statement. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus have no choice. The king has spoken. The words of the king carries power, and he's been impacted. He has no choice but to come out of the grave. That's kingship. Are you following me? You should desire to come to this level. You should desire to grow to this position. Don't take your Christian walk to be that which is meant for all that God can give to you. Maybe your food, your clothing, your resources. As good as those things may be, listen, Jesus had everything. Was he really asking for them? No. He wasn't asking for those things. But they were coming to him. Why? Because he was functioning in a different capacity. He simply told you, don't let this thing be your issue. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be what? Added. So there's a dimension you walk, things are added. Praise the Lord. So, we're dealing with Romans 8:23, the adoption of our body. We are not talking about a rapture. We are not talking about floating away. We are not talking about someday, somehow, things are going to happen. That's all we're talking about. If there is anything we're waiting for, is the adoption to with what? The redemption of our body. And Jesus never ascended to the place of the kingship until he got into that realm. Now, let me show you Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Hallelujah. Verse 36. Praise God. Anybody following this? And as they were, they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Now, I keep on telling you, when, the disciples, after Jesus was buried or was in the grave. Thank you. I'm seeing something here. Now, when he was in the grave and Now, they were all afraid for that 3 days, so they hid themselves because of the fear of persecution. You know the story now. So now, he rose from the grave, and then he came and visited them where they were in the room, everywhere is locked. So here's the story. And at this point, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thought arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit had no flesh and bones as you have seen me have. Can we take it from another translation? Maybe a simpler one. Any translation you want. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me. Look me over from head to toe. Ghost doesn't have muscles and bone like this. They thought they saw a ghost. When you read spirit there, it's very mild. But yeah, they were looking at something like a ghost, an apparition, something just happened to them. And he said, no, I'm not a ghost. It's me. Ghost does not have muscles and bones like you see me have. You can touch me from head to toe. We can fellowship together. But the difference is, he has muscles and bones, but he doesn't have bones or blood. Did you understand what I'm saying there? He has flesh and bones, but not flesh and blood. Now, you walk in flesh and blood. He never assumed his kingship in flesh and blood, but in flesh and bones. Are you seeing it? Praise the living God. I want you to just take this because it's very, very important. So, here is Jesus now. He just moved in. So we're talking about the kind of body that can walk through walls. We're talking about the kind of body that does not need vehicle to move from one geographical point of location to another point. We're talking about a body that if he wants to eat, he can eat. If he doesn't want to eat, he's not going to go hungry. We're talking about the body that viruses can no longer walk on. Glory to God. Are you still following this? This is not a body for virus. No. And this is the kind of body that Adam had in the very beginning in Eden, before the fall. It's the body of glory, it's the body of light. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. This is what brought him into kingship. So you take this scripture and then look at that, Romans chapter 1 verse 4 and Psalm 2 verse 6 and 7. You'll be able to see what brought him to the position of a king. Like we read in chapter 13, verse 32 and 33. Are you there with me? So adoption is when God raises you at the fullness of time. So let's go back to our scripture that we're dealing with, which is Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Romans 8, 23. No, let's take it from the Amplify, 20 to 23, from the Amplify. Praise the Lord. Just want us to look at these things all over again so that you see what I'm dealing with. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, so here we go. Romans chapter number 8, 22, Amplify translation. We know that the creation, the whole creation of irrational creatures have been mourning. Now, let me show you something. Let's go back a little bit. Go to verse 18. But what of that? Okay, go to 17, I'm sorry. Let's take it from 17. And if we are his children, then are we his heirs, also heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. And there's something that you need to understand. What a part of inheritance is that he was made a king. Is that okay? Right. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. But what of that? For I consider that the suffering of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that's about to be revealed to us, in us, as for us, and conferred on us. What glory is that? Glorify body. This suffering is not just dealing with the issue of you have no food to eat, you have no car to drive. That is not the suffering he's considering here. It's the weakness of your body. This sickness every day, this fever every day, this headache every day, these boils, these pimples, all of those things messing up your body. You're going through suffering. You don't eat, you'll be jerking. Are you following what I'm talking about? You need food all the time to be able to get blood in your body. Sometimes your blood is not enough. You want to infuse another thing to get blood in your body. All of this is our suffering. He said this suffering we're passing through cannot be compared to the glory. What glory is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and confined in us. What glory is being confined in us? The glory of immortality. Praise the Lord. Look at the next verse. For even we who, even the whole creation, all nature, wait expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Wait for the revealing, the disclosure of their sonship. What was Christ's sonship? Resurrection from the grave, putting on the glorified body. Let me tell you this. Why, for goodness sake, will anybody think that God wants to blow up the earth? What was the offense of the earth? Just tell me. Why do you think creation, all these trees suffering, everything you see, are waiting for sons to arise? Because you see, God said, help me now. God said, let's make man an image after dominion. Let him have dominion over everything that we have created. Now, man had dominion over everything. And so everything was looking unto man for life, for survival. Did you get this? All creation was looking unto Adam for survival. So when Adam fell, creation also fell. The potency, the strength to survive was lost because Adam fell from the realm of glory. Are you there with me? Praise the Lord. I've only said this, a lot of people don't seem to catch up with me on that. But why is it that we never had a single record of any miracle that Jesus performed when he rose from the grave? We are told he walked the earth for how many days when he rose from the grave? But there is no record of one miracle that he performed. Some people say, well, not everything is written, but the one that is written, that's what I'm saying. We didn't see anyone. Why was it so intentional for God to have hidden anything that was done within those period? For me, it is a simple reason. If Jesus has raised anybody within those 3 days of his resurrection when he came out of the grave, that person will have seen been alive today. Because he was walking in an immortal life. It's what I have that I give. I mean, if you understand that. So if Jesus had raised anybody, that person, if Lazarus was raised when he rose from the grave, Lazarus would have been visiting us by now. And Lazarus would not have been such a person who suffers the same thing that you are suffering. Lazarus will have been a completely different human being on the face of the exactly like him. That's why the Bible says, when he shall appear, then shall we appear with him where? In glory. Are you following this? So friend, when we're talking about our adoption, we're looking at something tremendous. Not just this thing, not just some... No. Praise the Lord. So Jesus will not raise anybody from the grave. Jesus will not perform, because he was walking in a different dimension of life, higher than when he was physically alive as the son of David. This is the point. And that's what creation is waiting for. Creation is waiting for people that will give them life. Plants are dying. We don't have to be looking for water. You speak unto the plants and impart life unto them. Are you getting what I'm saying? What makes you even think that we can create galaxies at the end of the day? Am I going too far? Maybe you think so. I made to understand recently China have created three artificial moon. I don't know if you read about it. That will be giving light to the cities in the orbit. That's the science. So why do you think sons of God will not be able to create galaxies? Am I stretching your imagination? I need to take you up there. For you to know that what God wants to do is a tremendous thing. If Jesus can speak to the wind that the wind obeyed, because creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's why creation have to obey him. It's a different level of life entirely that he was operating in. And that's how God wants you to come up to. Not this wishy-washy thing we're talking about. Not crying every day for daily bread. No. See, creation is waiting for you. And yet you want to go away. You miss it. It's all the reason why you can't do what you're supposed to do. Because God doesn't want to take you. He plays you here to manage creation. You want to run to him. God said, I'm not taking you away. So I'm sorry, you're not getting any rapture anywhere. Because creation is waiting. You have not solved the problem here. You want to go to heaven? You're not going anywhere. Go tell your preacher I said that. Creation is waiting. Look at the nation we have today. Look at COVID-19 killing people. I mean, are you telling me if Jesus resurrected from the grave was to be alive, COVID-19 will go and infect him and kill him? What kind of gospel are we preaching? We have no clue as to what God has in mind for his children. Praise the living God. But I'm telling you that there's a hope. And that's the hope we're waiting for. So, let's look at the next thing. Verse 19. So 18 says creation is waiting. What's the next verse? For even the whole creation, all nations, wait expectantly and long earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Wait for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. The disclosing of their sonship. That's what creation is waiting for. The very type that walked into the house and they thought it was a ghost. But it was not a ghost. Praise the living God. Are you still with me? I mean, do you have any hope in your faith in terms of your worship? Is there anything you're thinking about? Is there anything you're waiting for? Look at the next thing. For the creation, the nature was subject, we have this, to futility. Condemned to frustration. Not because of the same intention or fault on the part of creation now, but by the will of him who subjected it yet with what? Hope. So all the things you see, tornadoes, earthquake, name it, all those things going around, they are there for a purpose and are waiting a particular time when sons of God will arise. You'll be able to speak to tornadoes to cease and they will cease. Earthquake to stop, they will stop. We're going to recreate the world. It doesn't matter what anybody wants to believe. This is the plain truth of the scripture. We're going to recreate the world. Amen. You see, when I think about what the scientists are doing, they give me a lot of hope and challenges as well. Yesterday I read a new plane of John B. created, designed, that if there's going to be an accident, the pilot will just click on a button the plane would dispatch from the cockpit and leave the tail. The other one will be descending, and something like parachute comes up and the plane will land, so there's going to be no plane crash. The scientists can do that. And sons of God want to fly away. I'm sorry. You're going nowhere. Are you still following what I'm talking about? You're going nowhere. Because creation is waiting. All of these things we see going on. God intends you as an Adam, the full maturity of Adam in the garden, to put a stop to them. If we've come to the place of manifestation now, we only make decrees about this coronavirus and it impacts out. Now this one, we are tying nose and ear all over the place. In the midst of all those tying, you see killing us. That's where we should groan. We should desire God's spirit. Sometimes this thing comes to challenge our spirit, challenge our faith, and show us where we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Now tell me, if Jesus had risen from the grave and walked in the earth, are you sure he's going to be using face mask? Now tell me. That is the problem. We don't even know why God called us. We don't know what he wants to do with us. We don't know where he's taking us to. We have no idea. We have no idea what God is doing. We don't even know why God made man in the first place. We've reduced the intention of God to somebody who just doing some experiments. You know what? We are like a guinea pig farm. That's the way we think God have decided to make man. Just create man, give back to him, let him grow old, die, bury him, then give back to another one. You understand that? Right. So it's like experiment, just experiment, you know, with people. And so we're like an animal farm. That's the way we think about God. But God has something much more deeper. Oh, I like that scripture. Creation is waiting. And we can, this present suffering cannot be compared to the glory which shall be revealed, conferred within us. It can't be compared. So there is something ahead of us, which is the readoption. Hallelujah. Are we still here? Did I confuse you? You better I confuse you so that you can have sense. Praise the Lord. Look at the next verse. You know, religion messes us up by teaching us things that are not true. The nation, the creation itself, will be set free. Can I hear an amen? From what? Is bondage to decay and corruption, and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. Creation itself is going to be free. Man is in bondage, so when man is free, creation will be free. All these silly sicknesses you see all over the place, they will not be there. They just will not arise. No virus will survive in that environment that we're talking about. You don't have this body that virus can walk through. Hallelujah. Are you still there? And look at the next verse. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures have been mourning together in pains, labor until now. They are desiring. You see, creation is saying, oh God, where are we going to be free? Sons of God manifest so that we can be free. They are begging you. They are crying for you. What are you waiting for, God's power? What are you waiting for? They are crying for you. And you want to go away. The whole creation is crying and waiting for you. How long are you going to keep us here? They are not crying to God. They are crying for the sons. Sons of God, how long will you keep us in this situation? When will you arise so that we can be free? Because our freedom depends upon us. Because our fall depended upon us. Are we together? Look at the next verse. And not only the creation, but ourselves also, or two, who have and enjoy the first fruit of the Holy Spirit as a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption, our bodies from sensuality and the grave. which will reveal our adoption as what? Our manifestation as God's sons. We're waiting for that. That's what we're waiting for. The adoption, the redemption of this body of ours. This decayed body. This one that mosquito messed up every day. But you see, I mean, we too five have to say that. You have mosquito repellent, you put on your body, mosquito cannot come. How wouldn't you believe that you have a kind of glorified body that mosquito will not perish on? Huh? Hallelujah. Do you know what a fragrance of the Lord stands for? Glory to God. The colognes of God, do you know what it stands for? Praise the Lord. So what are you waiting for? The adoption of our bodies. To put on this same glorified body that Jesus had when he rose from the grave after 3 days. You know, sometimes when I think about how weak our body is, I feel pains. And that's what scripture is talking about. It makes you wonder, I mean, what kind of life is this? Huh? Look at the next verse. For in this hope, which hope? Of the rapture? Hope of going to heaven? What hope is it presented? In this hope, we were saved. Glory to God. Why are you saved? In this hope, we were saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? For this hope, we were saved. What hope? To put on what? A glorified body. So you're being saved from the world is that you might become a glorified son, which is the ultimate level of your adoption. That's what we're waiting for. That's why you cannot die before your time. That is why if you have this hope, then you must also come to the place to know it, that nothing is meant to destroy you, because you have something you are looking at, you have something you're hoping for, you have something you believe in for, and that hope alone can energize your body. Oh no. Is anybody following what I'm saying here? That thought alone to say, no, this is what God has in mind for me, this is where I'm supposed to be, that alone can energize you. Carla said, no, when you spoke to me, I was 40 years, now I'm 80 years, and I'm still strong. Give me that mountain. That's somebody that has a hope. That's somebody that has seen a vision. That's somebody that has a goal. Scripture said, for the glory that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. You can enjoy any situation because there's a glory set before you. What is the glory? A glorification of what? Your mortal body. And I'm saying you are coming to it. Because this is God's mind. You see, when God was speaking to the children of Israel in the book of Jeremiah, we quote it a lot. Is it 29:11 or so? I know the thought that I think towards you. And we always take that to ourselves and we say, okay, yes. There's nothing wrong, you can apply it. But take time to read the story. God was telling Jeremiah, hey, don't be in a hurry to leave Babylon. Give your daughter house to marry. Let them marry. Plant farm. Build houses, for you're going to be here for a long time. For 70 good years, you're going to be in this place. I know the thought I'm thinking towards you. I know one day I'm going to get you out, but for the moment, build houses, marry, give your children out to marry, build trees, plant trees, because you're going to have this for a long time. For I know the thought that I think towards you. That's why he made that statement. And so, if God knows the thought that he has towards you, and you know the thought that he has towards you, he knows why you are saved, what is the hope of your being saved, so that you may put on what? A glorified body. God is not going to abandon his project. He's not going to abandon his divine purpose concerning your life. His intention for you and I is real, and is going to bring them to pass. This is not just a message to encourage your fleshly desires. This is not a message to encourage, oh man, you have my food on your table. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's eternal purpose for his creation in relation to your life as a child of God, that you come to the place of full adoption and walk on this earth, not like a spirit, but that which has flesh and bones, not a ghost. Praise the living God, somebody. Am I helping you? Friend, this is the ultimate fate of that which is called Christianity. The full adoption into a glorified body. To walk this earth with a new body. This is where we are coming into. This is where God has ordained for each and every one of us. And creation is crying every day and telling you, Brother Lucky, we're waiting for you. Why are you treating us this way? Manifest. You're looking for artwork. Manifest, Lucky. Praise the living God. Are you following what I'm talking about? Just come up. That's what God is saying. We need you to stand. Because when you're standing, we will have hope. Creation is waiting. That is our full what? Adoption. As what? Glorified sons of God on the face of the earth. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.